Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
An old preacher was dying. He sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his bedroom, and as they entered the room, the preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on either side of the bed. The preacher grasped their hands and sighed contently, smiled, and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched. They were flattered that the preacher would ask them to be there during his final moments. They were also puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he particularly liked either of them. They both remembered his many long, uncomfortable sermons about greed, about covetousness, about avaricious behavior that made them squirm in their seats. Finally, the banker said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher, in his final statement, mustered up enough strength and said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I wanted to go too." That has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach. Just want to encourage you to laugh in church. It's fun to be saved. It's fun to be in church. Amen? First John. And if you're a banker or a lawyer, I love you. I'm just reading what was wrote here. It's all in fun, I promise you. And if you're a banker, I could use some money, so I'll talk to you after church. And it's never hurts to have a good lawyer on your side either. 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That scripture will preach itself, will it not? "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, greater in me. Greater in me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is great in you. Do great things. Amen. You may be seated. Living Way, just look around you today. Living Way is filled with the greatest people on the face of this planet. The best of the best. The cream of the crop. The most faith I've ever experienced. I've been to some great churches, been around some great people, but like Dorothy said, there's no place like home. This is filled with the greatest people. My heroes will not be on the turf later on today. They're not in Hollywood somewhere. The greatest heroes I have are scattered all over this room today. They're ushering. They've sung today. They're leading today. They're faith-filled members of this church, filled with great people. But how many of you know when you step out to do great things, there's always going to be an attack? Dad said something, Bishop said something many years ago while he was preaching, and I've heard him say this over the last few years a few times. If you don't want to be talked about, you don't want to be criticized, if you don't want to be hated, it's very easy. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. But the moment you start talking, and the moment you start doing something great, and the moment you start stepping out and there's some distance now between you and the crowd, and the moment you start becoming something, people are going to come against you. People are going to talk to you. People are going to talk about you. And what's crazy is a lot of them have the same last name as you. The moment you begin to be blessed, they start saying, "What, you think you're better than us? Don't you remember your roots and where you came from?" "Oh, I remember where I came from, but I'm very cognizant of where I'm going. That God's got a plan for me, and we all don't start at the same place, but we're all going to finish at a different place, and I plan on getting up out of here. I plan on striving to be what God has called me to do, to be where God has called me to be, and to do and to become what God has called me to become." So I want to encourage you that there's greatness on the inside of every believer in this house today, that God has put great value in you, and we'll get to that in just a minute. There are things in you that nobody else knows about but only you and God. There are some things in us that no one knows about but God. He has not even brought them to our surface yet. There are some things about you that maybe a sprinkling of people here and there know about you and the greatness that lies on the inside of you. But a lot of times when we begin to operate at a great level because of the power that is in us, there are people that come against us very quickly to shut us down. The moment that you start something great, remember there is going to be an attack from the very onset. Sometimes the greatest attacks of your life happen where you start and when you're about to finish, because the devil would love to break your momentum out of the starting gate. It is hard for those racehorses that are some of the greatest athletes in the world. It is hard for them to recover if they stumble out of the gate. And so a lot of times on a Sunday, you hear worship like we just heard, and it gets you all fired up, and I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go, like Bishop has been declaring. And I leave this place, and my head is held high, and shoulders are squared, and faith is soaring, and I'm going, all to get a text at 2:15 on a Sunday afternoon that is designed to dissuade me out of what God has spoken in my life. So many times it happens out of the starting gate. The devil will come against you right when you start, right when you step out to do something great. And then, of course, when he knows his time is short, he knows that you're getting ready to enter into the greatest season of your life, he will pull out all the stops to take you out, to stop you, to distract you, to depress you, to get your focus off of Jesus. But I want to start by saying this: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the greatest weapon on the face of the planet. His name is Jesus. He did not leave this earth altogether. His physical body left this earth, but he said, hold on, there's help coming. There is a comforter coming. The same spirit that raised me from the dead, I'm going to give to you. And he didn't loan it to us. Amen. It's something that we can walk in every day. It's something that we can go to work with. We can go to school with. We can go to court with. We can go to the hospital with. And what nobody else knows is it doesn't matter what you say about me and do to me, because I've got a greatness in me that is greater than anything that you will ever do. I've had in my life, I've had a chance to spend afternoon, to spend sessions, to sit in the office of three multi-billionaires. And what I love about multi-billionaires is they don't care what you think. They don't care what you say. I think anybody in here would take $1 billion if you knew you were going to be ridiculed on Facebook. People are going to talk about your wife and your kids. People are going to talk about what a loser you. You could do that. People do that for me for free. But if you're going to give me something great, and I know that I've got to face that, I know that the greatness in me and the great things that God is doing for me is worth all the mess that I'm going to have to endure, because Jesus said you are going to have trials. You are going to have tribulations. The Bible tells us, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, how we deal with people that conspire against us, that backbite us, that backstab us, that gossip about us. He says things like, turn the other cheek. He says things like, pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. And how do we do that? It's not by Brandon's might. It's not by your might. It's because we've got a great thing happening on the... How do you turn the other cheek? You say, Pastor, I'm running out of cheeks. It's been a long year. The reason we can turn the other cheek is not because of us, but because of what's in us. The reason we can respond with forgiveness instead of bitterness is because what's in us. The reason we can rise to a level and say, I'm not going to get down in the mud and wrestle the pigs, because God has called me to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean I'm weak. Doesn't mean I'm a pushover. It also doesn't mean I'm a jerk. It means that I am just elevated to a place where I allow the Spirit of God that is on the inside of me to work at a level that combats everything that's coming at me or against me. And so what is in you is imperative. Forgiveness or bitterness, what's in you is imperative. Negative or positive, what's in you is very important. And so what is in a person is never found out during times of peace. During times when everything is going like it should. Come on now. What we find out about people is in their worst moments, what do they say? When everything is not as it should be, what do? When their ex-wife is running her mouth, how do they respond in public and in private? When they get a pink slip for no good reason, are they coming to church with their hands uplifted saying, God, you're still a good God? Or are we like Job and have those friends that are, woe is me, and you've done something to deserve that? And so what's in you becomes very, very paramount to how you are going to overcome and if you are going to overcome. And I love what Chad Veach said a week ago Friday in a session with him. He said he was talking about relationships, and not just marital and dating and courting. He was talking about just relationships in general, whether it's friendships or businesses. He said you need to give people time to show them the real you, to show you the real them. And this is what he said. Time tells on everyone, because you can only fake it for so long. You can only keep the Joel Osteen smile on your face for so long. You can only quote your three or four favorite scriptures and only say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm so anointed, I can't be disappointed. And then somebody takes your parking spot out front and you lose all Holy Ghost over white lines on blacktop. Somebody cuts you off on the way to brunch or lunch today, and they give you the number one salute, and that you're number one on the roads and number one in their hearts, and something comes out of you, and maybe it's not profanity, but maybe it's just not godly, and what's in you is going to come out of you, and what's in you, listen to this, what's in you doesn't come out of, it's not the most important time when it comes out of you during good times. You give me $1,000, I'm going to call you blessed. If somebody were to bless you with $5,000, it doesn't matter what you thought of them before. They're now your best friend. And when somebody talks about it, don't you talk bad about them. They're a saint and a national treasure. That's not what is important. What is important is when that person puts a knife between your shoulder blades and you're in pain and you're cut and you're bleeding at the time. Are you able to still say, God is good, God is faithful, I wish they hadn't done that, but I'm not going to speak ill of them. I'm not going to release negative and faithless talk, because I've got a God that is on the, and instead of whining about what they did, you just grin and bear it and say, lesson learned. I now know I can't let them be behind me. I've got to keep them in front of me. That's why your enemies should be at your table, and not, don't turn your back on people. Put them at your table so you can keep your eye on them and remember that God is going to bless you in the presence of your enemies. So I need you to take a seat, because I can't trust you behind my back. So it's not when times are good. Time will tell on everyone. It is in the difficult times of life, when things are pressing against you, when things are coming at you, that you want to make sure that I've got the right things on the inside. See, what I love about Living Way, and what I love about co-pastoring with Bishop and Pastor Becky, Pastor Mandy, and Pastor Sean, is this, that there is not one time where I have to shoulder all of the load. See, I love it. For years, when we had youth and Pastor Manny and I were over youth, I unlocked the building. I led praise and worship practice. I led praise and worship. I welcomed everybody. I took the offering. I preached. I laid hands on everybody. I wiped down the tables. I locked the door, and I went home. And I got weary because I had to do everything. But what I love about the season I'm in now is I don't have to do everything. I've got a pastoral family and a pastoral team and leaders around me that they do their part. So while this team is singing, I get to worship. And so you say, well, you're worshiping to be a good example. No, 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 no. That is like 18th down the list. I'm worshiping like I worship to make sure that I'm filled with what I need to be filled with, so I can be obedient to keep the gift stirred up on the inside. Why? Because I know between now and next Sunday, something's going to happen. Something's going to come against Brandon, and I need to make sure that what is happening on the inside is happening at a greater rate than what is happening on the outside. I've got to make sure that my spirit is stronger than your flesh. I've got to make sure that I am where I need to be. And so when you see me up here stomping and you see me raising my hands, it's not to just be a good example. It is because, God, I need more of you, because I'm getting ready to step out onto a battlefield called San Antonio. I'm getting ready to wage war on the adversary, and I want to make sure that I've got something great in me that can stand against the adversary. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, great in me Give them time and the real them will come out. John 10 and 10. We already mentioned this service. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, Jesus said, and have it more abundantly. Listen to this. How many times I have heard John 10 and 10 quoted, preached. I've heard it. I've thought of it thousands of times in my 37 years. And this week, God showed me something brand new about this verse. Are you ready? The devil, listen to this, will come at you, but you decide whether he comes into you. See, there's a problem. Listen, he's going to come at everybody. He's going to bring everything he's got. He's going to bring some of his best demons to your house today. He's going to show up at your job. He's going to show up in your emotions. He's going to come at you, but you and I get to decide whether when he comes at us, if we allow him to come into us. And sometimes he knocks on the door, and I say, no, devil, not today. I know you showed up to spread fear. I know you showed up to spread division and discord, but not today, devil. I've got a greatness working on the inside of me. And just because you come at me, I don't give you permission to come into my house. I don't give you permission to come into my mind. I don't give you permission to come out of my mouth. I don't give you permission to come into my family, my kids, my money, my ministry. Everything I have is mine and God's, and you can't come in. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the devil can come at you, but he can't come into you. He comes at you. Listen to this. He comes at you to see what's in you. You ever see these bums? Gotta watch my word usage here. These knuckleheads that are stealing packages off of porches. Or you see them because of the Ring doorbell system now. You see them trying locks. And they're going down the neighborhood. And you know what they're looking for? Easy prey. Remember, you don't have to be the strongest in your group. You just can't be the weakest in your group. It's like the two guys out in the forest, and they're out there just hanging out, hunting, and a grizzly bear comes out of nowhere. One of them starts running. One of them drops to his knees and starts lacing up his shoes. The one that's running stops and looks back and says, you can't outrun that grizzly bear. He said, I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. I don't have to be the strongest. I just can't be the weakest. Pastor Mandy and I on Sunday nights, we've been watching Serengeti. Anybody watching Serengeti? It's a great show. All right, two of us. If you have Netflix, watch it on Netflix. It's going to be great. And Pastor Mandy, she sits over there, and I can almost hear a faint tear in her voice when that gazelle gets separated or the little baby zebra gets separated. Only the strong survive. Check this out. It's not your strength that matters. In my weakness, he is made strong. And so in my weakness, God sets up shop. So my weakness becomes my greatest strength, because my strength compared to his strength is weakness. But my weakness, when he steps in, now becomes the strongest part of me. Don't hate on my weakness, because God says that's the thing that I'm going to use to be the greatest blessing in your life and to those around you. I don't have to be the strongest. I just can't be the weakness. And as believers, in my weakness, he is made strong. His grace is sufficient for me. And don't worry about the thorn in your flesh, Paul. I've got it covered. I'm going to make sure that you can live life even with the pain. I'm going to make sure you can live life even with a past. I'm going to make sure that you hit your stride and hit your mark, no matter what you've come from or what you're going through. The devil comes at you to see what's in you. It's just a test. You better make sure that when he shows up to test you, that you fight back. Oh, it's been a long time since I told the story of the Fender family, the original Fender Four at Disneyland. Now, Bishop doesn't like Disneyland, but he was a good father, because he would go to Disneyland and he would carry a book with him. And Bishop, when he's not in church, not wearing a suit, which he wears a suit a lot out of church, he wears full John Wayne Clint Eastwood gear. I mean, he is ready to rope a cow anywhere at any time. So he's like black Wranglers, black shirt, hat. He's got the big buckle, which in Disneyland, it's really not, it's not normal to be dressed that way unless you're in Frontier World or Frontierland. We walk up one time, he's over there sitting in Frontierland reading his book. He looks like he works for Disney. People are walking up to him, "Hey, sir, can we get a picture with you?" And he's posing and putting his arms around little kids. And there, I mean, it was a sight. And so when Bishop would go with us, and I'm talking about I'm 4 or 5 years old, Sean's 7 or 8 years old. So when Bishop would go to the theme parks with us, we would all go, and then we'd meet Dad for lunch. And then he would go sit down and read, and we'd go ride rides, and we'd meet him for dinner. And then he'd go sit down and read his book, and we'd go ride rides, and we'd meet him at the car, or we'd meet him up front. So this particular night, Bishop said he would meet us at the car. And so Pastor Becky's got her 5-year-old son or 8-year-old son and her purse. And you know how mamas are in dark parking lots. Everybody's huddled together, and we're walking towards the car, and out of nowhere, a mugger appears, grabs her purse, and tries to take off with it. Only it wasn't a mugger, it was Bishop playing a joke on all of us. Bishop thought, I grab her purse, she lets go, and I just keep running. It'll be funny. What he did not bank on is that Pastor Becky's a no matter what woman. And when he grabbed that purse at a full run, she just slingshotted him, held him in, and brought him and started hitting and clawing. She hit him with a two-piece, got a couple scratch marks on before he's like, Becky, it's me. And let me just say, even at 4 or 5 years old, the rest of that vacation was pretty uncomfortable. Mom and Dad aren't talking. Dad's got a scratch here. Mom's knuckles are all bruised and bloodied. Dad wasn't banking on Mom fighting back. But Mom said, I've got something to fight for, and I've got something to fight from. Come on, church. You've got something to fight for, and you've got something to fight from. Let me say it again for the people in the back or the people up top. You've got something to fight for. Thank you for that, amen. And you've got something to fight from. The next time the devil shows up, swing him back into you. Give him a two-piece. Claw his eyes out and let him know I'm not who I used to be and I'm working from a greater power that is. And let me tell you something, devil. The power that I'm using, I already know it kicked your tail 2,000 years ago. You're used to what I'm working with. You're used to how I'm fighting. And he doesn't want any piece of it. Let's tell another mom and dad story. These are not just coming to my mind. Living out here on Schoenthal Road over here in Garden Ridge, Dad was traveling a lot. And he would come home late sometimes, but he'd always let us know, I'm not going to be home till, this is before cell phones, I'm not going to be home till tomorrow, I'm not going to be home till the next week, I'm not going to be home till whenever. And so we always knew exactly when he was going to come home. So if somebody showed up at the wrong time, we knew it wasn't Dad. So Dad decided he would come home early one night. And again, probably 3 or 4, Sean's 7 or 8, he's fumbling with the keys. And before he can get his key in, the door opens this much. And out goes a revolver pointed at Bishop's head. Stop, don't shoot, it's me. Thank God she didn't pull the trigger. But she let whoever was coming against her know, I've got weapons you don't know about. I'm fighting from a place that you don't know what I'm capable of. How many of you are UFC fans? If you don't know what UFC means, you're not a fan. Mixed martial arts. I've been a fan since way, way, way back. I don't follow as much anymore. There's a guy that fought years ago named BJ Penn. Okay. God bless you. Now, BJ Penn, if I saw him on the street, I would just lean over to Mandy and say, I could take BJ Penn in about 8 seconds. Because he's small, doesn't look very muscular, looks like he should be in a lab somewhere as a chemist. But when he gets in the ring, looks are deceiving because he's trained and he's fighting from a place where he has tested He is tried. He is true. So that when he gets in the ring, people don't know what they're in store for. Can I tell you that God is not looking at the outward appearance? He's looking at the heart. The devil doesn't look at the heart. He looks at the outward appearance. And to the devil, some of us look weak. Some of us look cowardly. Some of us look David, just dragging the heart behind us. But I'm here to tell you, the lion of the tribe of Judah roars on the inside of you. And the looks that are deceiving, sometimes that works in your favor, because the devil thinks he's going to run roughshod over you and your family. And when he tries the door and you stick the revolver out, you're saying, you don't know who you're messing with, because I got a whole lot of Jesus and a little bit of crazy, and I'm not afraid to use either one of them. He comes at you to see what's in you. So when he comes at you, you better be able to express what is in you. Is this helping anybody today? Let's give some more on John 10 and 10. The word says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's a nugget for you today if you're taking notes. The Bible doesn't say that Satan steals, kills, and destroys. It says that's what he comes to do. Oh, you missed it. We give him too much credit when we say the devil still kills and destroys. No, he doesn't. That's what he comes to do. The devil comes to separate your marriage. The devil comes to bring cancer. The devil comes to separate your children from faith. The devil comes to bring depression. That's what he comes to do. He's really good at bringing that to the table. But remember, he comes at you, but you don't have to let him in you. And so when you know that, he's bluffing. And when he shows up, you say, devil, I know what you came to do, but you can't come here, man. I got a restraining order against you. You cannot come into this house. You see this space right here? It's mine, and you can't come in this space. This mind I have is the mind of Christ. You no longer are a resident in my brain and how I think. You see this mind? I don't talk like I used to talk. Now I'm a person of faith, and I create the world that I want to live in. And you have to understand, the devil's doing what the devil is supposed to do. He's coming at you with things, and he has come to do something. But you have enough faith and enough Jesus and enough spirit in you to realize, I know what you've come to do, but you can't do that here. You ever have somebody try to light a cigarette in your house? You know why they don't? They know they can't do that there. I wish somebody would. I put it out on their eyeball. Sister Tammy's getting really upset. Me and you need to pray right now, because I feel like me and you are on the same. Lord, help us not to be so in it that we hurt people. People don't drink in my house because they know this is a place where you can't bring alcohol. People don't smoke in my house because they know they can't smoke. I don't let them smoke in my barn, not because it's a sacred place, but because I got a lot of hay and wood in there. They'll light that whole thing on fire. But there's a lot of people who don't do things around me because they know who I am, what I stand for, and the world that I've created, that doesn't work here. And so if people know, the devil should know. You can't bring sickness. Sickness doesn't work for me. I'm too busy to be sick. Poverty doesn't work for me. I've got too much vision not to have money. Discord and all that stuff doesn't work for me. Why? Because I need people to fulfill vision for what God has called. Gossip doesn't work for me because I'd rather build people up than tear them down. And so you've got to create that world. This is the world that I'm creating, that I want to live in. And if you can't abide by these rules that I'm setting within the boundaries of my life, you are not welcome here. And that can be Satan or somebody that works for Satan. You cannot be here. This is the world. You know that I don't play that game, and so you're not going to play games here. I love, and it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I just thought about when we're playing games. You win, you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. No stupid prizes are given at my house because we're only playing the real deal. We're playing real games. We're serious about what we're doing. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy all that God has done. That's the past. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy all God is going to do. That's opportunity. That's the future. The devil always comes and attacks in the present, in the now. He comes us in the now to rob us of past victory and future victory. When the devil shows up, understand he's not there to have a discourse with you. He's not there to hear your theology. He's not there to negotiate with you. He is there to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't talk to the devil, talk at the devil. Don't talk with the devil, talk out the devil. You are defeated in the name of Jesus. You were evicted from my life the day I said yes to Jesus. I don't know why you're still hanging around now. You have no right in my marriage. You have no authority in my children. You will take your hand out of my money. You will not come against my body anymore. This is a new place. This is a God place. This is a Holy Ghost place. This is a word place. This is a faith place. And you need to let him know you're not going to steal what God has given me, and you're not going to steal the opportunities that God has placed in front of me. My past is secure in Jesus. It's covered by the blood of Jesus, and my future is in front of me, and the Omega is already standing in my tomorrow, in my 2020, and you can be here because I've got something greater in me. Let's go just a little bit further. What's in you matters. We are spirit-fed. We are spirit-led. Is the Spirit of God in you? It's important what's in you is greater than what's around you, what's coming at you. Matthew 14, verse 26 tells us of an account where Peter and the disciples are in the boat. And they're in the boat as, thank you very much, praise team, for coming up. I'm always trying to stay on. I get to have you guys every Sunday, so I don't need to preach an hour and a half. So praise team, go ahead and come on up. We find out that Jesus has been praying on the mountaintop. There's 12 disciples, 11 and Peter get in the boat. They're in the middle of a hurricane. They're out there. They see somebody on the water. It's Jesus walking on the water. They think it's a ghost until he speaks. And when Jesus speaks, they still have a little bit of doubt. Peter actually says, Jesus, if it's really you, call for me to come on the water. So Jesus says, come to me, Peter. So Peter steps out of the boat in the greatest act of human faith in the Bible, starts walking on water. He's walking on water. He's connected to Jesus. His faith and his focus is all on Jesus until he begins. The Bible says he saw the wind. You cannot see wind. You see what the wind is doing. God bless Bahamas. They need a lot of help and prayer. And we have friends there, and we've got churches there that we know and peers that we know there. What you see on the news is a result of wind. But you couldn't see the wind. You saw the result of wind. The Bible says this, for us not to worry, to take every thought into captivation, into captivity. When Peter is walking on water, he is fine until he begins to invent problems that aren't even there. The mind is a powerful thing. You can create great things and you can create trepidation. And he's out there in the greatest moment of his life to that point. He is literally walking on the waves that he has used a boat to get on since he was a little fisherman boy. And he's walking, he's looking at Jesus, and then his focus shifts. And the Bible says that he saw the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. The fear in sinking is not what the water can do to me. It's what will happen if I let the water get over me, if I let the water get in me. And drowning is not because the water is bad. It's because we allow it to get in our lungs, where only oxygen is supposed to be. And so the greatest fear is what's on the outside, come on somebody, is about to get on the inside. And when Peter's faith shifted from faith in Jesus to fear in what was around him, coming at him and trying to come in him, he immediately let fear grip his heart. And the Bible says he began to sink. He began to sink in what he was supposed to walk on. He began to fear coming in him what he was never supposed to be in, but everything he was supposed to be over. Can I encourage you, when you walk out this place today, there is going to be a world that comes against you with everything it's got. You're going to have bad news all around you. You're going to watch Fox and CNN and have to turn it off in disgust. You're going to have rumors going on at your kids' schools, and you're going to have all these things, and I want to encourage you, make sure you walk on it. Make sure you take your place over it, and remember, you're not supposed to be in it. You're not supposed to be under it, and you sure can't let it get in you. And if you've got something more powerful on the inside, it doesn't leave any space for anything on the outside to get in on the inside. Stand on your feet. greater in me. I've got, this was just a little. We're going to continue it next Sunday. Greater in me. Because there's a whole other place we got to go with this. Greater in me. Bad news happens. Bad things happen. We do ourselves a disservice if we preach a skipping through the roses, perfect Christian life, picket fences, every day sunny and 72. At this day, I would take 92. That would be great too. Our lives are not perfect because we live in a fallen world. However, we serve a risen Savior. And so instead of staying in the world, I just choose to live with Him. I choose to live with Him above everything. Doesn't mean I don't wake up with some pain sometimes. Doesn't mean the doctors don't tell me some things that I don't agree with and things that are going on. It doesn't mean that my money's always right. Doesn't mean that Mandy and I never have conversations that the neighbors down the road can hear from us. And we live out in the country. Our neighbors are like a mile apart. Doesn't mean that everything's perfect. It just means that I got something greater in me than what's coming at me. I've got something, and we'll get to that, John 7. I got something greater coming out of me than what's trying to get in. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It now quickens me. My mortal body is now made alive. I don't feel like I used to feel. I don't deal with things like I used to deal. I just let that greater Spirit go. I've got something greater in me. You're different. I am different. Greater. Well, you're different than you even were 2 years ago. Yeah, because the Spirit's gotten greater. I've allowed him more room. I've taken my hands off the steering wheel. I've allowed him free reign in my life. It's amazing to me that I've been living for God for 20 years, sold out. But every day I feel stronger. Every year I'm moving forward in faith. I look back at how I was 10 years ago, and I was 10 years into this walk with God, and I say, God, I've grown so much. And God says, just think of what I'm going to do the next 10 and the next 20. Just keep allowing that greatness in you that is me to come out. I want to open this altar now for people in this building. First thing I want to say, the most important question you'll ever answer, are you sure you're going to heaven? I know there's a lot of churches that just want to take an offering, gather for 40 minutes and turn you loose. We're not that church. First thing we want to talk about is John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come to give you life.